Well, this is BBC Radio 4, where now David Hemmings and Nitin Ganatra star a play about memory, metaphysics, and minicabs by Paul B. Davis.
Hello, car service. Ah, yes, sir, you're waiting for your car from Camden Town. Yeah, we're running a few minutes late on that. All right, 25 minutes if you say so. All right, sir, there's no call for that kind of language. No, because I've just spoken to the driver this minute and he's approaching you now. The problem is you're in the crack, you see. The crack between the pages of the A to Z. No, not in yours, no, we use a special edition in the trade. Yes, he'll be only a minute or so now. Yeah, all right, sorry for the delay. Yeah, he's just at the end of your road. Thank you. All cars. Anyone Camden Town? We've got a screamer in Camden Town. Anyone dropping off Hampstead, Highgate, Finchley, Islington, Paddington? Anyone North London? Speak to me. Anyone London, for pity's sake?
3-3 base, I'm clear Euston, 2 or 3 minutes.
Magic 3-3. You've got Camden Town, 12 Linden House. It's a mansion block in Pratt Street. Do you know it?
Got your base, Roger, right.
Hello, car service. Yeah, that's going to be about 40 minutes. Now, I doubt if you will, love...
Learning bug is spreading faster than entries to the Ambridge Open Garden competition. But learning how to germinate, propagate and cultivate is a little more time-consuming. One place where there's no shortage of good advice and sheer inspiration is the Royal Horticultural Society Chelsea Flower Show. And you can see it for yourself, courtesy of BBC One and BBC Two. With the likes of Alan Titchmarsh and Kenton's favourite Rachel the Tame as your guides around the show gardens and floral marquees, there'll be masses to delight the eye. And feed the enthusiasm of both the green-fingered and the horticultural newcomer. BBC One has a preview on Sunday afternoon at 5:10, and then there's a closer look at the Chelsea Flower Show the following Monday to Friday at 8:00 in the evening over on BBC Two. That's the Chelsea Flower Show on the BBC. Well, this is BBC Radio 4, where now David Hemmings and Nitin Ganatra star in Tommy the Voice, a play about memory, metaphysics and minicabs by Paul B. Davis.
Hello, car service. Ah, yes, sir, you're waiting for your car from Camden Town. Yeah, we're running a few minutes late on that. All right, 25 minutes if you say so. All right, sir, there's no call for that kind of language. No, because I've just spoken to the driver this minute and he's approaching you now. The problem is you're in the crack, you see. The crack between the pages of the A to Z. No, not in yours, no, we use a special edition in the trade. Yes, he'll be only a minute or so now. Yeah, all right, sorry for the delay. Yeah, he's just at the end of your road. Thank you. All cars. Anyone Camden Town? We've got a screamer in Camden Town. Anyone dropping off Hampstead, Highgate, Finchley, Islington, Paddington? Anyone North London? Speak to me. Anyone London, for pity's sake?
3-3 base, I'm clear Euston, 2 or 3 minutes.
Magic 3-3. You've got Camden Town, 12 Linden House. It's a mansion block in Pratt Street. Do you know it?
Got your base. Roger, right.
Hello, car service. Yeah, that's going to be about 40 minutes. Now, I doubt if you will, love. Saturday night, the clubs are all coming out. Hold on a minute, please. I'll be with you in a moment, sir. Take a seat.
Yeah, I'm a police officer. I need to talk to you.
All right, give me a second. Sorry about that, love. Just give me the address. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, I'll do my best. Bye. Right, what can I do for you, officer?
I'm DS Grace, Hammersmith CID. I believe one of your drivers is called Amit Banerjee.
Oh, good. What's he done now?
He's in Charing Cross Hospital, just down the road. Having emergency surgery for stab wounds.
What?
Yeah, it's touch and go, apparently.
Oh, no. God, is he going to be all right? What happened? Who did it?
That's what we need to find out. Tell me, do you happen to know someone called Tommy the Voice?
Tommy the Voice? You must be joking.
4141 PIB Kings Cross.
Hang on. All right, Tony, tell us when you drop off.
Roger, Roger.
So, what can you tell me about this Tommy the Voice?
I can tell you he's been dead for 10 years.
Oh, that's him out of the frame, then.
What's Tommy the Voice got to do with anything?
I was at the hospital when Mr. Banerjee was brought in. As you can imagine, we're regular visitors on a Saturday night.
Yeah, we do a pretty brisk trade with the place ourselves.
I was taking the statement from a bloke with a crossbow bolt through his head. Chatting away, happy as Larry, I couldn't believe it.
Must have been pissed.
No, I don't drink anymore.
No, I mean, never mind. What about Amit? Was he conscious?
Just about. But he wasn't making much sense, having a conversation with someone who wasn't there. So I asked who he was talking to. Tommy the Voice, he kept saying. It's Tommy, can't you hear him? And they took him off for the operation.
I'll be damned.
Who was this Tommy the Voice bloke, anyway?
He was a controller for a big minicab firm. Same work as I'm doing. He's a bit of a legend in the business. A very special man, Tommy.
Right. OK, when did you last see Mr. Banerjee?
I last saw him about midnight when he picked up a fare from base, but I spoke to him a bit later on the radio when he broke down.
Hang on. Are you saying he picked up a passenger here?
Yeah, bloke going to Ruislip.
Can you describe this man for me?
About 5'8", 5'9". Bit taller, maybe. Or slightly shorter.
All right. What about his features?
Bit difficult to say, really. He was wearing these dark glasses.
What, shades? At midnight?
Not shades, more sort of tinted glasses. And he had a baseball cap on, but everyone does now, don't they? And there was a bit of rain, so he had his coat collar pulled up.
So, basically, his face was completely hidden?
I suppose it was, really.
Well, did he say anything? Did he mention this Tommy the Voice?
No, just comments about the weather, bit of chat, nothing special. Although he did recite some poetry at one point.
Poetry, I see. What sort of poetry?
It was a verse from the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, as it happens.
Was it the popular Fitzgerald translation, or the more academically accurate but harder-going one by Robert Graves?
Oh, the Fitzgerald. He takes a lot of liberties with the original Persian text, but he catches the spirit better, don't you reckon?
Absolutely. Well, this bloke sounds like a right weirdo. What happened when the driver turned up? Did he come in?
No, when Amit pulled up outside, I said to the bloke, "Blue Datsun, right across the road." He gave me a little wave and went out.
And how much later was it that you spoke to Amit on the radio?
20 minutes. He'd broken down, so I sent another driver out.
Who found him at 1? So we know roughly the time he was stabbed. But we still don't know what went on in that car.
Over here, mate. All right, mate. Hang on. I'll have to move this stuff if you're getting in the front. I'll just find somewhere to... If you want to get in the front, do you?
Not anymore, no. I'll get in the back.
Ruislip, yeah? No problem, my friend. You didn't think I was trying to stop you getting in the front seat just then, did you?
You did it without trying at all. Very effective.
All right, fair cop. Maybe I should put a sign up. The thing is, I'm here all night. This is my little world in front here. Someone gets in next to me, that's half my world being invaded. And I tell you, the state of some of these people, you wouldn't want them sitting next to you, believe me. No offence to you, mate, of course.
I'm not offended. You'd know if I was.
But you've got to make a quick decision. Because if they look like trouble, do you want them in the front, where you can keep an eye on them? Or do you want them in the back, where they're less toxic, but they might decide to park a machete in the back of your head?
How do you know that I'm not trouble?
It's instinct, really. I don't go on appearances. I mean, I can't see much of you, can I? In fact, I thought you might be a celebrity, as it happens. Would I recognise you without the shades and the hat?
No. Might not recognise myself.
Right. Mind you, I've had famous people in here who haven't behaved themselves. You'd be amazed. But you'll always get some people out to cause trouble. Especially in this game, especially for someone like me, you know what I mean?
Where are you from?
I'm from Hackney, mate. Where are you from?
Me? Nowhere in particular.
I've been there. I think they changed the name to Swindon.
There's a very interesting railway museum in Swindon.
Yeah, it's called The Station.
I'm not sure we should be making fun of Swindon when Swindon isn't here to defend itself.
Good point. I see what you mean.
Not that I've ever been there. Don't get that idea into your head.
No, of course not.
I don't think we should make assumptions based on where people come from. It's where they're going that's important.
Well, I'm completely with you there, mate. I get sick of people making assumptions about me, I can tell you. And of course, it used to be just packy this and packy that, and now it's, "Oi, Bin Laden, is there a bomb in the back?" It's amazing. And is there any point in telling them I'm not a Muslim? I'm not even a Paki. My family background is Hindu from Bangalore.
It wouldn't make much difference to the people you're talking about.
That's why I sometimes say I am a Muslim. If they start with all of that nonsense, I argue the case as if I was. Try and set them straight.
What if it gets out of hand?
There's various things you can do to look after yourself. Plus, there's code words we use on the radio to the controller, things like that. And a really good controller can weed out the dodgy punters in advance, even on the phone.
It's a very important job, isn't it? The controller.
Oh, it's crucial, mate. Absolutely crucial.
So a good controller is highly thought of. Like an idol.
A really top controller is absolute gold dust.
Has there ever been someone that everybody thinks is the best?
Well, funnily enough, there was this bloke called Tommy the Voice.
Oh, yeah. Tommy the Voice.
What? Oh, I didn't like the sound of that. Well, seems all right now, though. Sorry, it sounded like you knew Tommy the Voice. Is that right?
No, never heard of him. Did you know Tommy the Voice?
Nah, before my time. But my older brother worked for him.
And where's your brother now?
Bangalore. He went to visit family after he stopped working here. He decided to stay over there and start his own business.
A minicab business?
No, kitchenware as it happens. Why do you ask?
Just out of interest. So, why was he called Tommy the Voice?
He was just one of those people you want to listen to. Like, some people are good with animals, Tommy was good with drivers.
And the drivers can get quite temperamental, I imagine.
8 hours in London traffic, you try it. That's another thing about Tommy. He had this spooky way of knowing what was happening all over London. He was like a crafty old spider sitting in the middle of his web, picking up on every little tremble. Not just traffic and roadworks and that. It was like he could sense the whole vibe of the city. Because London has got different moods, it changes all the time, and Tommy was always tuned into that.
All right, 41, if you've just dropped off in Kilburn, I've got a little change of plan for you, Maestro, because we don't want you getting bored, do we? Not a highly strung professional like you. So cancel that pickup in Marylebone and head straight down to Knightsbridge and stay well west of the park, all right? And I've got a nasty feeling about Paddington this afternoon as well. Just a little twinge in the bunions, but we're not going to risk it. So you pick up a Mrs. Clutton outside Harvey Nick's, 4 p.m. on the dot, wearing a blue dress. That's her in the blue dress, not you, but you can wear one if you want, by all means. You please yourself, my son.
And while he was keeping up the constant patter, he was processing information and planning ahead and fine-tuning all the drivers' routes and schedules at the same time.
You make it sound like playing chess. It's a violent game, that.
Yeah, but you've got to imagine a chess grandmaster playing 20 different games at once while he's also planning the invasion of Normandy and conducting a symphony orchestra.
Not so much playing chess, then, as playing God.
Now then, 17-1-7. That's you, Eric. If you can deploy all of your formidable skill and cunning to get in from Stepney Tootsweet, you can catch the Marylebone job. You've got the address. It's the regular one, and before you tell me that you've got to get up to Stoke Newington for the 5:15 contract job, I've got you covered. I still want you to go for it after you've dropped off, but if it's looking dodgy, we'll call it one way or the other in plenty of time so I can head you off at the pass, get someone else on it, and keep you busy elsewhere. And I have a suspicion there's going to be a rush on later this afternoon, so you won't be twiddling your thumbs.
Most people couldn't do it, that's for sure. I couldn't do it. Some of them used drugs to stay on top of it, speed for the most part, but Tommy never did that. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm just saying Tommy didn't do it. Hang on, what's that idiot doing? Yeah, very clever, mate. Sorry about that. Pathetic. Two kids with mullet haircuts and shell suits in an old Sierra cutting up a minicab on a Saturday night. That's La Dolce Vita in these parts.
Are you going to follow them?
What, the Cricklewood jet set? I don't think so. Just a pair of prats.
People aren't always what they seem.
I don't know about that, but any fool can drive like an idiot. Driving is like plumbing. You only notice it when it's done badly.
I must remember that.
Hey, something told me the voice used to say as it happens. He had all these homemade proverbs and sayings and things.
So, he kept the drivers entertained, did he?
Oh, I think it was more than that. I think he had the gift of being able to tell people what to do and make them love him for it.
Napoleon was like that.
He was also a power-crazed, delusional sociopath.
But he had some faults as well. He was very short. Was Tommy the voice like that?
What, short?
No, those other qualities.
Do you think he was a great man?
I'm not very keen on hero worship myself. It stops people thinking for themselves. But legend or not, I've got to admit that Tommy genuinely cared about his drivers. And all his genius for planning and all that, what he basically used it for was to look after the drivers and try and make life easier for them.
But it wouldn't be Saturday night without a little bit of horseplay and youthful high spirits, and there is a slight difference of opinion being expressed on the door at Inferno's nightclub on Wilsdon High Street. But we all know the doorman there, and my money, as usual, is on the professionals. Talking of which, 24-24, you're on your way there, and Car 7 has got a pick-up there about 20 minutes after you. So 24, when you get there, wait across the road until 3-1 shows up, and that's Tiny Tony, the wonder from Down Under. He'll escort you to the door and discourage any unwanted overtures while you pick up your fare. And then you can both slip away into the night, leaving the awestruck populace to exclaim, "Who was that masked man?" The answer to which is, of course, "How should I know, you prannet? He was wearing a mask." So, there's the plan. A modest concoction, but all my own work. Car 31, 3-1. I assume you heard all that, Tony.
Roger, roger, mate.
Good man. Now, if you have to hit anyone, don't hurt them too much.
No worries, mate.
And the fun never stops, because I've got three jobs for the Greek restaurant on Finchley Road, where there happens to be another little outbreak of Saturday night fever. So, we'll go in mob-handed. Car 19, 19, ring the manager when you're outside.
He made sure the drivers got the work and made them feel safe. And a lot of that was down to the voice and that style of talking, that tone of voice. In fact, it all goes back to this guy called Chuck Yeager. Do you know that book called The Right Stuff?
About the astronauts, by Tom Wolfe.
That's right. Have you read it?
No.
Oh, anyway, Chuck Yeager was the test pilot for the first American jets. It was him that started all that really understated casual style. You know, "Houston, we have a problem," all of that. And the astronauts picked it up from him, and from them, it went to the airline pilots. You know, the way they come over all smooth and soothing on the announcements. "Ladies and gentlemen, if you care to return to your seats, we've got a little turbulence up ahead." And what they really mean is they're flying straight into Hurricane Horrible and the engines aren't working.
They don't want people to panic.
Panic is the devil's foxtrot.
Yeah, but they're also showing off a little bit, aren't they? About how cool they can be. Same with minicab controllers. But no one could do it like Tommy the Voice. You've got to hand it to him.
What happened to him?
He turned out to be his own worst enemy, and it killed him. Oh, no. What's going on? What?
Perhaps you're running out of time.
What do you mean, time?
Fuel. If you're low on fuel, there's not much time before we stop.
No, I'm more than half full. No, come on. Don't do this to me. That doesn't sound good. Come on, keep going, please. "Houston, we have a problem. Hang on. It's probably the rain. Maybe the engine's got damp. Let's have another go."
"Better stop. You'll flood the carb."
Yeah, that's true. Is it? I'm not much of a mechanic, really.
Leave it just a moment. Let the plugs dry out.
What a place to stop. Not exactly throbbing with life, is it?
We're in limbo.
A blank space between the city and the suburbs. No man's land.
Except ours.
Can you imagine working in these horrible industrial units?
The people who built them certainly didn't. Try again.
Okay.
Stop. It's no use. So, this must be the place.
What place? Listen, I'll have to get onto base. Sorry about this.
No, don't worry. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be.
3-2 base, come in, please.
Future's not a...
Hello, base, 3-2, can you hear me?
Gotcha, 3-2, what's up?
I've only broken down, haven't I? I'm POB and all.
What's the problem?
Just conked out. The engine turned over, but it wouldn't spark up, and now the battery's running down.
I warned you about that, Datsun. It was bound to happen. I told you you should have bought that Rover off of me. That was a lovely car.
Listen, I've just had this car serviced and got a new MOT.
What bunch of cowboys gave that old wreck a clean bill of health?
I did what you said. I took it to your brother-in-law's garage.
Oh. Well, it sounds like the electrics, and they can just go with no warning. That's very common, especially on those Datsuns. Look, where are you, 3-2?
Northolt, on the road going through Kingsmead Industrial Estate.
All right, I'll get one of the other drivers over to you, and you can pick up a new battery at that big garage on Western Avenue.
Hang on, base. What about the rescue service? They'll be much better. If they can't start it, at least they'll tow us to Ruislip.
No, the rescue service won't come out for you.
Why not? I thought we had a comprehensive contract. All cars, any problem, any place.
As it happens, we're in dispute with that particular rescue service.
You haven't paid the bills, have you?
It's a complex business issue, 3-2. Look, just sit tight. I'll get someone to...
I'm losing your base. What was that? Hello, base? Well, it looks like we're stuck here.
Never mind. You can tell me what happened to Tommy the Voice.
Oh, it's all a bit grim, really. You don't want to hear that.
Oh, you must tell me. Do you know what'll happen if you don't?
What?
I don't know. That's why I asked. But we'd have to find some other way to amuse ourselves.
Right. Well, basically, it all went wrong one Saturday afternoon. Tommy was... Hey, what was that?
What is it?
I thought... No, it's nothing. I thought I saw someone out there.
It's difficult to see anything through this rain.
Yeah, without the wipers. It was probably... I don't know, nothing.
It could have been a fox. Or a postman. Anyway, please continue.
Well... This particular day, it was Tommy's birthday. No one knew exactly how old he was, but someone had found out the date. It was very quiet, summer holidays, and a lot of the regular work was off. A couple of the drivers were watching the racing on the telly in the front office because there was no walk-in trade to speak of, so Tommy didn't mind. One of the drivers was a bit of a hound for betting on the horses, and he kept on at Tommy to have a flutter.
I'll tell you what, Tommy. Luscious southern girl in the 315. Now, she's a lovely little horse. Nothing flashy, but she's going to do the business today, I promise you.
Well, best of luck to you. Just keep the sound down on the telly, would you?
Come on, Tommy, it's your birthday. Put a wee bit on.
No thanks, Angus. I'm working.
No problem, Tommy. I'll phone in the bookie anyway. Just tell me what you want to put on. Just put a tenner on.
Not today, thanks. I'll tell you what. I'll have a tenner with you on yesterday's race now that I know the winner.
Aye, that'd be the way. Look, I'll put £10 on for you anyway, my three, all right? A wee birthday present for you. You forget all about it. And then if she wins, I'll surprise you.
The thing is, only a few of the older drivers knew about it, but Tommy had a serious gambling problem. By this time, he hadn't had a bet for years, but it's like alcohol or drugs, isn't it? You can kick the habit, but you're always going to be an addict.
Some things you never get over. You have to deal with it every day.
But this particular driver didn't know. He went ahead and phoned in his bet with a tenner on for Tommy. And when the race came on the TV, how could Tommy ignore it? Even though he hadn't put the money on personally, and it wasn't even his money, to a gambler like Tommy, it was his bet. So, what was the worst possible thing that could have happened?
The horse won.
You got it. And that was it. Tommy was well and truly hooked again.
Yes! What did I tell you? You see the way she tucked herself into the rail and just slipped past those dozy old nags? What a beauty!
They weren't so dozy either, I'll tell you. There was a bit of form there. That was a good race.
Good result is what it was. 3-1. I'd buy that for a birthday present. £30 for that big man. With my compliments. Look at this. Crisp new notes as well. How about that?
I'll tell you what, Angus. Are you putting anything on the next one?
I was thinking about a modest speculation on the 345. There's another quiet little filly got me eye on. Lady Penelope.
Oh, fine. Just bung the 30 on along with your bet, eh?
I'll phone a man. Just the 30, Tommy?
Well, you might as well make it 50, nice round number. Put it on each way, all right? I never bet to win on the second one of the day. It's an old superstition of mine. Hello, car service. Yes, sir. When do you want the car for? Oh, congratulations. Yes. Well, just let me have the address.
That was when a man phoned for a car to take him and his pregnant wife to hospital. She was 10 days overdue, so she was booked in to have the baby induced. Then the TV in the minicab office showed the runners for the next race in the paddock, so Tommy and Angus started discussing the nags, checking the form, watching the odds.
All the ritual that addicts wrap around the main event.
Mm-hmm. It was only just before the race was about to start that Tommy remembered the hospital job. So, with his mind on the horses, he simply called the driver who was nearest to the pickup, who happened to be a new driver in his first week on the job. No experience at all.
Car 22, calm in 22. Have you dropped off in Crouch End yet?
Yes, mate. Roger, Roger. I'm clear in near Finsbury Park.
Good. Pick up at 54 Jacqueline Street, Holloway for Guy's Hospital.
That's down in Lambeth, isn't it?
It's just the other side of London Bridge, and go easy over the speed bumps unless you fancy being a midwife. Off you go, 22.
Mate, what's the best way, mate?
Highbury Corner down to the Angel, over to Old Street, then down to London Bridge, all right? It's a doddle, Tutu. All you've got to do is point the car south and stay off the pavement.
So the driver was inexperienced. So what? No one could have predicted what would happen.
No one except Tommy.
Exactly. Because normally he thought of everything, but by this time, of course, he was only thinking of one thing. So when the driver called in to say he was stuck in thick traffic, Tommy was responding to events rather than controlling them. He realised he'd directed the guy down through Islington.
Which is always packed on a Saturday afternoon.
Right. So, with one eye on the race, which had just started, he told the driver to turn off and gave him another route down through the city. Big mistake. But an experienced driver might have been able to take up the slack when the plan started to unravel. And maybe if Tommy had won on that second race, he'd have left it at that and got back on the ball. But probably not. If a gambler does well, he keeps betting because he's on a winning streak. And if he loses, he keeps betting because it stands to reason that his luck's about to change. But he always keeps on betting.
Ah, well, easy come, easy go. Thanks anyway, Angus.
Yeah, my pleasure, Tommy. Just a bit of fun, eh?
Ah, that's right, old son. Mind you, she was a good little runner, of course. There's one more race coming up, isn't there?
That's right. Last of the day. Were you thinking of...
Well, normally I wouldn't bother. But I suppose it is my birthday.
Space, this is car 22. Can you hear me?
Well, come in, 22. What's the problem now, son?
Now I'm completely stuck in thick traffic on Canterbury Road.
Oh, bugger. I've just remembered there's all those roadworks on the new one-way system down at Shoreditch. It's been there for weeks.
Space, listen. This woman in the back, she started bleeding and I think she's going to need a doctor really soon. She's in pain.
All right, son. All right, just hold on a minute while I get something sorted here at base. We'll work something out.
Even the news that the woman was in difficulties didn't really get Tommy's attention. The last race was starting soon and he still hadn't picked a horse. Once he'd done that, he gave the driver directions to get him out of trouble. Or so he thought, but he wasn't thinking straight. so he didn't realise that what he'd done by now, in effect, was to direct the driver around three sides of a square.
So that the car was now trying to cross the same traffic jam it had been stuck in to begin with.
That's right. When the driver called in again, he was starting to panic. And then things got really bad.
I can't move, Bates. It's a complete gridlock. Everything's jammed up behind me as well now. Oh, God!
What's the matter?
There's blood everywhere. I think she's having the baby. Oh, God, there's so much blood.
Right, we'll get an ambulance to you. No, 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 that won't work. It won't get through the traffic. Maybe you can't... No, wait. Just let me think, let me think.
There you are, Tommy. I got the bell on just in time. Shall I turn the telly?
Hang on, Angus, I've got a problem here.
Sorry, what's the race on the telly in the back?
All right, son, I'll find a medic and get a bike to pick him up and try and get through to you. Meanwhile, I'll find someone who can give you some advice on the rig. You stand by. All cars, this is an emergency. Repeat, this is an emergency. Call for medical attention.
But by this time, the woman had gone into labour and was hemorrhaging badly. Then a doctor did get to the car, a passing pedestrian as it happened. He went to work like a demon and managed to deliver the baby. And all the time, the radio channel was open, so Tommy was in touch.
Come in, Tutu. Now, what's happening, son? Is the baby all right?
It's very small. It's not moving. I don't think it's breathing.
Oh, come on, breathe. Please, breathe. Come on, you can do it.
It's breathing! It just gave a little cough and it started breathing.
Oh, thank God for that. What about the mother? Is she all right?
She looks very pale. The doctor says...
Hello, what's happening? Tutu? Tutu, are you there?
He can't get her to breathe.
Why not? What's the matter? Hello? Is she all right?
Hey, Tommy, are you lucky or what? We got a result, my man. What's the matter?
Bit of a problem with one of the cars. It's stuck in the traffic. That's always a bit thick up there on a Saturday afternoon.
And that was the beginning of the end for Tommy. Once it had sunk in, he blamed himself completely for everything.
Do you think it was his fault?
He thought it was, that's the point. By his standards, he hadn't done his job properly. And as a result, someone died. Simple as that.
People have to take responsibility for their actions. And their mistakes. Especially their mistakes.
But maybe it would have all happened anyway. Who's to say? Maybe it's all fate. It's kismet, as the Arabs say. It is written.
That's just an excuse.
Well, I'm not saying we haven't got free will. We can change things.
Oh, love, could thou and I with fate conspire to grasp this sorry scheme of things entire? Would not we shatter it to bits and then remould it nearer to the heart's desire?
That's from the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, right?
Correct.
In the end, maybe there are some things you can't change.
Like, if it's your time to die.
Maybe.
Do you want to finish it?
What do you mean?
The story. What happened next? What happened to the survivors?
Oh. No one really knew what happened to the father and the child.
I'm sure someone knows. And what about the driver?
He gave up his job, so I heard. Gave it up and disappeared.
Oh, I wonder where he went. Perhaps he went to India.
Why'd you say that?
Somewhere to lose himself. Or find himself.
I suppose he might have gone to India. I don't really know.
Yes, you do. He went to Bangalore, didn't he?
How did you know it was my brother?
If he's not your brother, then whose brother is he?
Why do you want to know about him?
He's part of the story. Tell me what happened next.
These weird rumours started going around. Classic urban myths. You'd hear about drivers with a passenger who knew all about what happened, and when they compared notes, he'd been in different cars at the same time. And no one could describe him, that kind of stuff. And so, when there were some violent deaths in the business over the next few months, people started saying all kinds of things.
How many people died?
A driver was found stabbed in his car, which was probably a mugging that went wrong or a row over a fare. Another driver was killed in a hit and run as he was walking across the road to the office. Late at night, main road, probably a drunk driver. Then there was a controller killed by a suspected burglar when he was locking up. That's three deaths over 6 months among a big group of people in a trade that's notoriously vulnerable to violence.
Why are you so anxious to make it all sound like coincidence?
Listen, people love plots and conspiracies and spooky connections because they want an explanation for everything. It's comforting to believe it's not all meaningless. But you can see a pattern in anything if you want to. Looking for something determines what you find. That's basic quantum physics, isn't it? Look at Schrödinger's cat, and if you don't, he's not even there in the first place.
But he's got to be somewhere. And Tommy the Voice?
He carried on, but people said he'd lost his touch. He started working shorter hours and only did day shifts. And then, exactly a year after the tragedy, Tommy was working a Saturday afternoon. It was very busy, there were some big football games on, and the Northern Line was shut down as well. But Tommy wasn't really on top of it. In fact, he seemed to be losing it altogether.
Car 1414, pick up in Hampstead. No, hang about. You're over in Kensal Rise, so you just wait there a bit. 36, 36. You take the Hampstead job. Well, a man of your education can understand almost every word they say up there. Come in, 36. 36, speak to me. Oh, no, wait a minute. You're not on today, so why am I talking to you? 14, 14. You'll have to do Hampstead after all. 28, 28. I know you're hanging on in Ladbroke Grove, but second thoughts, perhaps you'd better take that Eyegate job. Who's nearer? Or was it Hampstead? Did I say Hampstead? Hampstead. Highgate. Oh, it's all nice around here. Lovely view from up on the heath. See all over London. Expensive up that way, mine. Belsize Park. St. John's Wood. Primrose Hill. Maida Vale. Little Venice. Walk under the West Way from there, straight across to... to Paddington. Gateway to the West. Out to the country. Keep going west. Who's on the West Way? Who's heading west, eh? Into the sun. On the West Way, into the sunset. Big red sun.
What was happening was that Tommy's heart was giving out, and all over London his cars were gradually slowing down. They talk about arterial roadways, don't they? And all the cars were like little corpuscles, getting more and more sluggish, just like the blood that Tommy's heart was trying desperately to pump through his veins. He put up a terrific fight, but, of course, it couldn't last.
All cars. Stay where you are. It's time to stop. All cars. Stay in position. Over and out.
And the whole network of cars flowing through the city ground to a halt. Nothing moved. And that was the end of Tommy the Voice.
But not the end of the story.
Not quite, as it happens. 1 week later, Saturday afternoon, you'd have had a hard time getting a minicab in West London. And even if you'd found one, you'd have got stuck in very slow traffic. There was a cortege of minicabs over a mile long for Tommy's funeral. It was wonderful by all accounts. The vicar had been a driver at one time and he devised a special prayer made up of minicab patter. It went something like, "We beseech you, the controller of all things, to send your top driver, the Lord, to pick up a very special fare on account, and when your POB take our friend and brother, Tommy the Voice, to his well-earned bonus, dropping off at thy base in heaven." That sort of thing. Everyone loved it. But the funny thing was that his wife turned up. No one even knew he was married. And you know what she told them? Tommy had never driven a car in his life. Never took his test. In fact, he hated cars.
So, in the end, he paid the price.
What, for not being able to drive?
No, for what he did. For killing who he killed.
Listen, that was an accident. Yeah, Tommy blamed himself, but it's not as though he murdered her.
No, not just him.
What do you mean?
Nothing, forget it.
No, come on, what are you saying? What, who else is responsible then? My brother? The doctor? The lads in the office? What about the people who caused the traffic jam? When do you stop?
I don't know. Maybe you can never stop.
How can the... That's the radio. How can the battery be...
Funny old Saturday night, isn't it? One of those nights when anything could happen. And if it does, let's hope it happens to someone who likes that kind of thing. So look out for yourself and watch your back. That means you, 3-2. Look behind you.
That's me. What does he mean, look behind? Hey, what are you doing? Ah, no, you don't. Give me that. Come back. You owe me money. Blood. Where did that come from? Oh, shit.
Hello, mate. I've got...
Oh, no. What's happened to you? Are you all right?
He stabbed me. And Tommy warned me. Tommy the Voice.
Oh, my God. Just hang on, mate. I'll call for an ambulance on my rig. Just hang on, Amy. Hang on, mate.
I don't believe it. He stabbed me. What's that? Silly bugger left his wallet behind. Let's have a look.
All right, mate. Ambulance on the way. Take it easy.
Oh, he recited Omar Khayyam. Our love could thou and I...
With fate conspire, blah, blah, blah. Verse 73. What a diabolical liberty.
Yeah, look, I've got his wallet.
Oh, brilliant. There you go, mate. They'll be able to find the bastard.
No, there's nothing in it except a photo.
All right, Amy, don't try to talk. I'll look at it later.
Eddie, you worked with Tommy the Voice, didn't you?
Tommy? Absolutely. Yeah, I know him very well, but just rest, all right?
You know that whole thing with the woman who died in the car?
Of course I do. Terrible. But don't worry about that now.
The child that was born. Was it a boy or a girl?
It was a little girl, I think. Take it easy, Amit.
What colour was her hair?
Search me, mate. No, hang about. I was in the office not long after it. Of course, it was your brother, wasn't it? Yeah, the last time he come in, he was saying how amazing it was. She was born with a full head of curly red hair. That's right. Lovely little redhead.
Right. Just a coincidence. Probably.
Amit. Amit, don't go to sleep now. Stay with it, mate. Amit, listen to me. Listen. It'll be all right. Just stay with it, mate. Come on, Amit. Amit, wake up. Don't go to sleep, mate.
Look behind you. What's
going on? He paid the price. Maybe you can never stop. Perhaps you're running out of time.
What's going on?
Time. We're in limbo.
What's going on?
We're in limbo.
The Voice.
Not the end of the story.
DS Grace, CID. Oh, hello, mate. Really? Oh, good. Thanks for telling me. I'll get down there straight away. No, I'll just turn up. Otherwise, they'll try to tell me I can't talk to him yet. Yeah, cheers.
Is Amit going to be all right, then?
Looks like it. Good, now maybe you can tell me what happened.
Pretty obvious, isn't it? Sounds like this passenger had a go at him.
Yeah, but you should never make assumptions. I'd still like to know where this bloke Tommy the Voice fits in. Well, I must admit he's probably not a viable suspect if he's been dead for 10 years.
Oh, my Lord. What's the date today?
It's the 24th. Why?
It's 10 years to the day. The 24th. That's when Tommy died, exactly 10 years ago.
Really? Probably just a coincidence. Right, I'm off to the hospital. Hopefully I'll get a statement that'll help us.
Give Amit my love.
Will do. Right, I'll be in touch. Cheerio.
Bye. Tommy the Voice, eh? Well, whatever's going on, knowing you, Tommy, I shouldn't think coincidence has got much to do with it. Once a controller, always a controller. Well, you were the best, after all. Roger, Roger, old son.
All right, knights in a road. That's my shift over and the sleep of the righteous awaits me. Anyone else out there thinking about a bit of kip, get off the road now, because snoring tends to upset your passengers. It's 3 a.m. and you know what they say. The night has 1,000 eyes, which means it must have 500 noses, by my calculations. Right. Catch you later.
Tommy the Voice was written by Paul B. Davis and starred David Hemmings as Tommy and Nitin Ganatra as Amit. Mark Meadows was the passenger, Linda Smith played the controller, and David Lloyd was D.S. Grace. Angus was played by Stephen Perring and the driver by Stuart Crosman. Tommy the Voice was directed in Bristol by Sarah Davis.